I have seen this movie many times.
Oh yeah, I definitely saw this movie in theaters.
I saw it exactly once. I only really remember like seeing it and my parents trying to explain to me like the original Lost.
This
like,
was a TV show, yeah.
Yeah, not like trying to explain it to me, but just like really like getting a kick out of the Danger Will Robinson. Like they just kept trying to tell me like
they turn into the Leo pointing meme. Like, yes,
yeah, like this robot did Danger Will Robinson and oh how we laughed.
Yeah, it's
like, he waved his arms around.
Yeah, that
it was
like,
released April 3rd, 1998.
Wasn't it the 50s doctor kind of like campy gay?
Yes. One might say he is a little coded.
Yeah,
perhaps even queer coded.
Yes.
So they would also probably they probably thought that was hilarious because they're my parents.
They're like, that was just great comedy.
Yeah. That was just good comedy. You can't do comedy like that now.
No, you'll get canceled.
Am I right, guys? Welcome to another episode of Why Did We Watch This, the podcast where three friends sit down, watch a nice, well, not so nice movie, have a better drink, and sit down, talk about what was good, what was bad, how we could all do it better. This is another mini episode. I am your host for this week, Lee Delahanty.
I am Brendan Drischler, the other one. Oh, no!
And I'm Chris Revelle. This is what we get for doing this on Zoom, which is my fault.
It's fine. Anyways, we're on Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get that, Brendan? Can I get that intro clean from you?
Yes. And I am Brendan Drischler.
Great. And scene.
Thank you.
That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Yep.
As I said,
one take, Brendan. That's what Jack Warner called me.
Yeah. As I said, this is another mini episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next full episode, which will be 1998's Lost in Space.
And also, because it's summer, this is our summer gimmick. Our summer theme is going to be our summer of failed franchises, which are movies that were really intended to launch a franchise and then just failed spectacularly from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, we've done, to be fair, a lot of those already.
We have, yes. No, this is certainly
the summer of them.
Right. That's certainly no different in that respect from ones we've done before, because we've done a lot of movies. What was Beautiful Creatures that clearly felt like they were supposed to start something and then never happened?
Very much.
Or Jupiter Ascending.
I think we've done those a lot. I really enjoy it when that happens, though, because I feel like it's a specific and very fun lens to read something through over, like, what was planned here?
You can constantly also just feel everyone being like, this is going to work, right? Like, this is going to be a thing. Like, everyone, like, comes out of this being like, yeah, we did good here.
Was that
you know what else probably was? Lone Ranger. I bet you anything Lone Ranger
was meant to be. Was the Seventh Son supposed to be part
I'm
of the
sure
thing.
It was
the seventh bride for the seventh son,
seventh
the
brother.
Sequel.
Yes. The prequel to Six or Seven Brides for Six Brides for Seven Brothers is the community theater version where they only had six women.
it's like that game of the chairs.
Yeah. But oh no, brides. One bride's gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, seventh brother, you're on your own.
Fucking, what is that game called? I had to play
musical
it with my
chairs.
Name. Musical chairs. Jesus, my brain.
It's the game with the chairs.
Musical brides.
Oh, just so you're all aware, the Seventh Son actually does come from a larger book series. So
I'm sure
there it is. I mean, it had such. Although technically, we didn't do the Seventh Son, if you'll remember.
Yeah,
correctly.
It's just a movie we watched.
Yeah. But it, maybe someday we'll go back to that well again.
Maybe there's like 12 of them too. There's a lot.
How many sons are there?
We glazed over it, but I just want to really quickly just shout out to Lost in Space. Just rattle off some factoids.
Oh, yeah, please. Sorry.
Stephen Hopkins.
Yeah.
Starring Gary Oldman, William Hurt, Matt LeBlanc, Mimi Rogers, Heather Graham, Lacey Chabert.
Yeah,
you got it.
And
Jack
the little
Johnson,
kid.
And Jared Harris. Little baby Jared Harris.
Well, no, he's
Jared
not really.
Harris.
He's not.
I know
that
he's not baby,
yeah.
But like
compared to now.
Yeah, compared to grizzled Gerald Harris.
I'm just going to come out and say I've seen this movie many times. I don't know how or why. I think like a friend had it on VHS or something. There was some way I've watched it a lot in someone's house.
I had it on VHS. It was something my family felt the need to own for some reason.
I saw it, but I don't remember. I think I saw it once and I put it out of my mind, and I'm not looking forward to watching it again.
As well you should.
just hearing the cast recited back to me, it feels crazy.
It is such Matt a LeBlanc. 90s nonsense, this cast. Like, on the one hand, you've got like Matt LeBlanc and Heather Graham, who are like 90s people who we kept thinking would pop into like actual movie stars and never happened. Then you've got like William Hurt and Gary Oldman on the other side. Like, what the fuck was
Mimi
going
Rogers.
On?
Like, and all Mimi people Rogers who too. Have like have like careers at that point.
It's like a weird hybrid of like skilled actual actors and like 90s flash in the pan actors.
Yeah.
And you know, Lacey Chabert had a really bright future ahead of her doing exclusively made for TV movies now.
I mean, Lacey Chabert has a bright career ahead of her doing like voiceover work, I think. So I think Lacey does okay for herself.
Yeah.
But that robot, though, he kind of crashed and burned, didn't he? He really never went anywhere.
Nah.
Like listen, Danger Will Robinson.
We never hear about that bug anymore from A Bug's Life.
That's true. Well, he
never got that pilot off the ground.
Yeah.
What about the ant from Ants?
You saw his
never
tweets,
hear about
Chris,
him anymore.
Right?
Oh right.
Oh yeah, he canceled himself real good.
Yeah, that was a real blaze of self-destruction. Yeah.
He got milkshake ant.
Anyway, we do need to have a drink to get through this movie. What
of course
will be
we
drinking?
Do. So the drink we will be making for this is called My Regards to Oblivion. It is one bottle of red wine, 4 ounces of raspberry liqueur, 3 ounces of rum, 3 cups of summer berries, just whatever summer berries you can find. Let's not go nuts here. Some blueberries and some soda water. And it's basically just kind of a sangria. You're going to take the red wine, the raspberry liqueur, the rum, the summer berries, throw them all in a pitcher, let them soak for a while. Whenever you're ready to serve this drink, we're going to strain the fruit bits out, pop it in a glass with some ice, top it with some soda water just to make it a little bit light and crisp, and then throw in some fresh new blueberries. So it kind of will look like little planetary orbs is the thought.
Good job.
Also, nice. Because apparently space tastes like raspberries and smell like rum. That's why we have those flavors there.
I think that's nonsense.
Is that
in the movie?
No, this is a real thing. This is like an IRL thing. Yeah, have you ever heard of this?
No.
That they conjecture that like space smells like rum and raspberries. I have no idea like where
this comes
from.
I would love to hear the process that landed them at that conclusion.
I mean, Google it. I'm sure you'll find an article explaining how this thing happened. But like that is a thing.
I will wait for someone. I will wait for the human test subject for that.
Someone to lick space.
Yeah, someone to lick space and get back to me. I think that's just some astronomers get a little too high sometimes and are like, what can I get away with?
Tastes like raspberries, man.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that's what we'll be doing in 2 weeks for this week. It's about that time. We are it's like roughly halfway through the year.
Like halfway through the year, just a little bit over.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. And I think it's a good time to check in on the new media year's resolutions. New year's media resolutions? New media's resolutions.
In medias reis?
In medias reis resolutions.
Yes. I mean, to be, we are in the middle of the year, so perhaps this is our...
The in media res media resolutions.
Yes, in media resolutions.
That's the title.
We got there.
We all set our goals. I think we should all start off by just kind of restating what they were. I'll start.
Yeah, go for it.
So I have been in a big gaming rut for the past several years where I tend to get latched onto like a lot of like live play games or competitive games where I'm just logging onto like the same thing every night. So I was playing a lot of like Valorant or like Apex or like survival crafting games where I would just like waste hours. And or like Civ, which like I love Civilization, but like good lord, I have 500 hours in Civ, if not more.
Right.
And I know I have more in Baldur's Gate 3 now, but that's also unforgivable. And so a big part of my gaming resolution, of my New Year's resolution, it wasn't just about gaming, but it was to basically stop doing these sort of, not like they're time wasters, but stop doing the same thing every night and like broaden it out and do more things. Specifically with gaming, there's like a big backlog of games that are like either critically renowned or like, you know, indie darlings or just like classics mm-hmm. that I just like slept on for too long or didn't do. So I had a rough list of those that I was going to get through those. I'm going to do more single player games in general and just like complete them. Not like you can really quote unquote completion. It's kind of like up to you, the person playing the game. But just like finish games and move on and try to do that. And also during that time, like try to get some TV shows in as well, like finish some TV shows or catch up on some stuff that I've been meaning to watch. So that was mine.
I'll go next real quick. So mine was just relating to primarily it was relating to the stack of Criterion movies I tend to buy at Barnes & Noble's half-off sale that I kind of put on a shelf and then forget to actually watch. Stemming from that, likewise, there was also just the general concept of trying to clear some movies off my Letterboxd watch list. And stemming from that as well was also a certain number of movies that Rich had wanted to watch that I said I would watch too that I had also never seen before. Things like the Paddington movies and the Godfather movies were things that I had kicked around as like things I should finally cross off my list and get around to actually seeing.
Nice. I had kind of like a twofold goal. One was to like do some meaningful damage to the like long list of movies that Paul and I were like, oh, we want to see that. And then we would just like completely forget about it until it would come up and be like, oh yeah, we should watch that sometime. And it just like never happens. So yeah, the one of them was to just start working that list down. And then the other one was to try to read a book per month, because basically ever since quarantine I've like lost a lot of my reading stamina. And you know, I used to read like literally all the time, and it that like declined very hard. So I wanted to try to like set a goal just to get me like reading regularly again.
Good. Well, do we want to go around in the same order then and do the updates, I suppose?
Yeah, I think we can kind of move around, Robin, too, if people want to interject with, you know, something as a shared experience or whatever. But I can start off. So I think overall I'm pretty pleased with so far what I've done. I don't like have I do have like a list, I guess, but I'm not that great at updating things. So I know that I caught up on the newest season of Our Flag Means Death. I'm trying to think. I know I watched Resident Alien. There were definitely some other TV shows. One thing I did that I didn't sort of mean to do was I really wanted to watch Spy Family, which was on my list of shows. It's like an anime. I don't generally watch a lot of anime. I call myself a reformed weeb. where like it's just like now most anime to me is like problematic until proven not. Like. And so I just sort of mistrust it a lot of the time. But I admit that there is a lot of good stuff, but a lot of it is just straight up not for me. And it's hard to find the good stuff. And a lot of it is weird or creepy. And I'm not into it. But Spy Family is one that I wanted to watch because it's been recommended to me by a lot of people. It's sort of like a fictional Cold War era like family comedy thing. And it was very good. But I had to trial a Crunchyroll subscription.
Oh, no.
To do it. And then I got like stuck into the payment, and so I ended up trying to make use of that, and I started binging a whole bunch of other shows that like I had not been meaning to watch, but I know that there I semi-related to this, at some point during my gaming knockoff I decided I wanted to take a break from some other types of games and go on a sort of dating sim otome spree, visual novel spree. So I did a lot of those, and a lot of those are either based off of anime or they become anime or something like that. So I ended up going on what is essentially like a shoujo anime like binge, where I watched like, I don't know, I want to say like 5 or 6 anime series. They're not that hard to finish because they're half hours in length, and they're probably like, 12 to 24 episodes, depending on which one it is. So I did do that as well. I watched a lot of those, and they're not like great. It's not like it's great, meaningful viewing, but I did it. I did that.
But I did it anyway.
They're silly little shows where it's like,
you did it.
You know
it
what?
Happened.
Somehow, like all of them, I don't know what it is about shoujo anime, but all of them were about the female protagonists were all like apothecaries or herbalists. I'm not even joking. I watched like 4 shows where the woman like were like healers, but specifically like medicine, like herbalism, because I did focus on either historical or fantasy. So they were all like alchemists or herbalists or apothecaries. And then I love some of them
that,
pretty good.
That sounds pretty chill.
Yeah, no, they're very chill. These anime, some of them, one of them I really did describe as like Nancy Meyer's anime, where it was just like an anime where like all of the boys are so wholesome and so safe. Like she's just surrounded by a bunch of nice boys. And it reminded me a lot of that movie we watched with all the boys.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. It was also the only one where the protagonist was like in her 20s. Not that I have a huge problem with it. They were all like of age. They were the rest of their, most of the time, a lot of these shows are about like 18-year-old, 17-year-old.
I've noticed.
Younger people.
Yeah. Younger people. So it was nice for there to be like an adult. Someone who's considered like jaded. He's like, oh, I have a job. But yeah, so they were good. Gaming wise, I feel really good about what I did gaming wise. I've cracked through like a lot of games. Let me sort by recent on my Steam. I know one of the bigger ones I did was Outer Wilds. I was really happy to finish that.
I liked that one. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
Wait, did you play I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of Outer World, aren't you?
I am. I'm thinking of Outer Worlds.
Outer World is the like RPG space thing. Outer Wilds is like Majora's Mask in space.
That's right.
It's like a time loop adventure puzzle-y type thing. I would highly recommend Outer Wilds. I would arguably say like you almost need to play it at some point in your life.
Wow, okay.
It's a strong recommendation from me. That was really good, and I really enjoyed it. And these games took me, Outer Wilds, I have 19 hours in it, and it was done. I didn't do the DLC, I don't own it. I'm probably going to go back and do the DLC, but I didn't buy it when I was playing the game, so I didn't have
access to it. That's like a relatively light investment for an RPG, too.
Yeah. Chris and I have been alert, we have to get back to it, but we're working our way through It Takes Two, which was on my list.
Oh my god, yes, we do.
Was that as a good play? I've played Hi-Fi Rush, also like 15 hour completion. It's like a single player like rhythm fighting game, just good fun. And that studio has died to capitalism, unfortunately.
Oh no!
How fun!
Yeah, R&D. They made it. It was like a small indie studio that like made a deal with like Microsoft, I want to say, or some other bigger studio. They were specifically told to like make like, you know, sort of indie style games, and they made this game, and it did very well. It's a classic case of like, oh, it didn't make enough money, and then they were like, closed the contract, and the studio closed. They shut the studio down. So it's like,
of
great.
Of course, yeah.
So unfortunately, that's what happens. And another game I played on a similar line, which was also on my list, that I finished it recently, and I'm sort of still deep in the hyper fixation, is Disco Elysium.
Hell yeah.
Which was amazing. I can't believe I slept on it so long. I really liked it.
I was so glad to hear when you said you were going to play it, because I feel like it was very much a Lee game.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it starts off as a detective story, kind of, and then it just spirals into all these really crazy, unexpected directions.
Yeah, no, both Disco Elysium and Outer Wilds like hit really good, like, really hit me emotionally in a way that video games seldom do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for video games to hit them. Like, they can. Some people get, you know, your mileage may vary, but those two games both, like, especially the climaxes of them both. And actually, Outer Wilds, like, really just sort of stuck with me afterwards. I found that, like, at the actual ending to Outer Wilds, which is quite a climactic emotional moment, but there was this, like, level of fatigue for me of, like, I need to be done with this game. Like, I'd been playing for like an hour or so. And I, at the time of playing it, I was like, yes, this is all very touching, but like, it's 1 a.m. I got to go to bed. So can we hurry this ending along? But like for like a week or two afterwards, I really was like, I don't know. It like stayed with me. Like the impression of that game stayed with me. So again, really like have to recommend that game, especially. And Disco Elysium, just great. It's both like an incredibly funny game, and it's fun to play. Like, it's incredibly rewarding to play. And the story is really, I mean, the writing is good. Like, everything about it is pretty great. The voice acting, just, I love it.
But then it'll just, like, it'll have, it just out of nowhere, it'll, like, hit you with something really poignant and effectively emotional. Like, it's such a wonderful game.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people describe it as, like, really depressing. And I agree that, like, the setting is depressing and dystopian. But, like, I really got, like, the game kind of lets you, the player, decide how you react to that. And it doesn't, like, punish you for taking a more optimistic or hopeful view on things. Like, it's actually kind of, like, it's a choice that you can make. Like, you can either lean into the despair or you can, like, push back against it, which I really liked. And even when it's being bleak, it's hilarious. I mean, the way that that game flirted for me, because it lets you... this is the last Angel Bushler before I'll see the floor, is that you like assign stat points, and I wanted to be like a smart detective, so I put all of my points in like the brain and the emotional intelligence, and like I left it at like the minimum, which is 1 for physical strength, and I put like 2 for dexterity. And I started the game and I didn't realize that like the physical is tied to like how much health you have, like how much damage you can take. And the first thing I did is you wake up naked from a hangover, and like your tie is swinging from a ceiling fan, and you can either turn the fan off or you can try to grab the tie while it's moving. And it's a dice roll check to grab the tie. Like, it's like a dex check. And I was like, I want to grab the tie, which I'm not going to be good at. But I don't know what happens if I fail. It can't be that bad. It's the start of the game. I failed the check to grab the tie, which means I whacked my hand on the ceiling fan. And it's like, ow, my hand. And then my character had a heart attack and died. Like a minute into the game, because I gave my character one health. I was like so perplexed when that happened. I was like, this is going to be a great game. So yeah, they're good games, and I would heartily recommend a couple of them that I played.
Well, I'll go quick because I don't have a whole lot to add, and I have food delivery being sent to us as we speak.
Oh,
so
nice.
Basically, in terms of my Criterion list, I have gotten through half the movies on my list. I have about 16 left, and I've done, I think, 18 was the total that I had before I started. So working my way through those gradually, but I figure halfway through the year, halfway through the list is a pretty good place to be. Some of them obviously are movies that, you know, require a lot of attention or emotional bandwidth. So they're not, you know, always things that you can just sort of like, let's pop this in and have a little watch. It's usually something you have to like put yourself in a headspace for. So I think that's probably part of why it takes a while. In terms of hacking through my list, that's kind of something I've just been doing a lot on Letterboxd lately. Thankfully, the streaming service Tubi has so much of the shit that I want to see that it makes it very easy to just sort of watch these things while I'm at work or doing other things or what have you. You know, so I'm hacking off titles like I've finally watched the Poltergeist sequels. They're terrible. Don't watch them.
How many are there?
There are two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow, I didn't even realize there was one.
Yes. The third one is kind of interesting. It has an interesting premise. And it's one of those things that like I almost think we should do for this for the podcast, but like I'm not gonna make you guys like watch the third one of a movie and be like, but like this is the lore that's leading up to this and all that shit. So like never mind. Like interesting premise, but still a shitty movie. But yeah, so in doing that, the list I have with Rich is slower than that because, you know, I blame Rich entirely for this. So he just sometimes doesn't want to watch certain things or watch things that were on that list. So that one takes a little bit of a while, hence why I haven't gotten to like Paddington or the Godfather movies at this point. But, you know, plucking away as best I can at that. But nonetheless, feel like I'm in a pretty good place as far as accomplishing what I set out to do.
Yeah. Any criterions that you'd recommend?
See, this is the fucking problem.
Oh, yeah.
I can never remember which ones I've seen like recently. You know what it is? Like if you were to say like, have you seen movie X? I'd be like, yes, I've seen this one. I'm trying to remember what was the one that I saw. Oh, there was a movie I saw called Targets that was like an early Peter Bogdanovich movie with Boris Karloff. And it's like two intertwining stories about Boris Karloff being like this sort of what he kind of was, which is, you know, like a theater or a movie actor who was looked on as kind of like, you know, like a has been, like a relic of the past. And while this is going, like while he's sort of like figuring out like, okay, I'm retiring, I'm done with this business, like I just don't want to do this sort of thing anymore. And while that's going on, there's a simultaneous story about a guy who will be a I don't know what the word, like a shooter, like he's going to murder people with a gun, like he's going to go on a shooting spree at some point. Like it starts off with him like kind of out of nowhere just sort of deciding to like kill his like girlfriend and her family, and then just kind of like the two stories eventually intersect at the end. But I had never heard of it before, and it was very interesting, very well done, and I think another like relatively short movie, so you know, can't recommend those enough.
Yeah. Sub 2 hour movies.
Yeah. If you're around 90 minutes, great. Good job. Yeah. Keep awesome. Working, honey. Yeah. And I'll go to Chris then. To you, Chris.
Oh, it's me now.
Back to you, Chris.
So I'll start with the goal that I definitely hit, I think, the best, which is we have actually been really good about working down our list, watching the movie, like if we say we want to see something, we like note it, and we've actually been watching it. We've watched most of the Oscar movies from this past cycle that we wanted to. Still have not seen Oppenheimer, but like I'm trying to think of the best ones. Like we saw Fall Guy recently, which I really enjoyed.
Sorry, you saw what recently?
Have you guys seen that yet?
Is Fall Guy out on streaming
recently?
Oh, Fall Guy. Yeah. Okay, I thought you said
I didn't
Fall
know.
Guy.
Do you have to like rent it or is it out on streaming?
Yeah, it's rental.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet. I do want to see it, but I haven't.
I typically would like wait for it to just come out normal for
it's good. It's
on a streaming service.
It's really fun and enjoyable. It's very silly. It's a good time. Watch Dune 2, which was something we kept like putting off. Oh my gosh. Of course, it's sort of like that moment when the waiter comes to your table and suddenly the order you had so clearly in your head goes blank. What else did we watch? The Holdovers, which we really liked.
Us too.
I wanted to watch The Holdovers. Yeah. That's on my list.
Holdovers is, I think, also on my movies anywhere if you want to see it. I'm pretty sure.
We watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, I still, that's on my list that I do want to see, but again, it's like set aside 3 hours, you know, like.
Exactly. Well, that's what we kept bumping up against. I mean, same thing with Dune. We were like, I mean, that's a long one. I don't say this to be controversial, but Killers of the Flower Moon was like, it was a good movie.
I'm sorry. Is your controversial take that it was good or that it was just?
Are you damning with faint praise?
Yeah, right. Are you saying like it was good but less good than you thought, or you're just like movie is good?
I'll say that's a hot take. Okay, I liked the movie. I was not rapturously in love with it, like I think I've seen a lot of other critics be. And in my opinion, though Lily Gladstone's performance is great, the writing that she gets in her character is very limiting. And it does make me wonder, this sort of crosses over into like an Oscars quibble, but it makes me wonder and think, I think she probably would have won the Oscar if she was submitted and supporting, because the way that her character is written and the amount of screen time and interiority we get, she's a supporting character. I just think that maybe it would have been unpalatable to tell that specific story and then only submit Leo for lead. So I don't know. But yeah, so that's been. Oh, and we also finally cruised through some TV that we were also like, oh, yeah, eventually. Highly would suggest, I would really, really suggest Scavenger's Reign. Max canceled it and then Netflix picked it up and they said if it does well enough, they'll give it a second season. It's very good. It's like a spaceship. It's animated, but it's like a spaceship goes down in a hostile planet. And there's sort of like different smaller groups of people in different places on the planet that you're just watching them survive. But it's just, it's an incredibly imaginative, scary, beautiful world that they paint in this planet. And it's like really cool that it basically, like, none of these animals, well, with maybe the exception of like one, are like evil per se. It's just that this planet has a natural cycle that's very hostile to us. It's really interesting. So for the second goal, I have not been able to do a book a month. That has not happened. But I've been reading more, which I think, if not the letter of my goal, it was the spirit of my goal.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of all you can ask for sometimes, you know, like as long as you're like, you're doing it. And like, that's what counts. That's really kind of what counts for these things.
Can I ask, like, with your reading goal, did you have like, did they have to be like, quote unquote, like of a certain caliber of book?
No, just a book.
Just anything you wanted to read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like they've been pretty much all over the map. I read this book of very weird short stories called The Hungry Girls.
Mm.
I love Jennifer Lawrence on that.
It's a lot of short stories about like, it's about bizarre animals, but it's also about like fictional societies and stuff. It's very weird. It's interesting, but it's very weird. I would suggest it. It's good. And then what I'm reading now, years ago, I read Neuromancer, but I don't remember it that clearly. And I figured a reread would probably be pretty good because they're making a movie out of that now.
That guy. What's that author's name?
Gibson.
Yeah.
I think William Gibson.
Neuromancer.
Mm-hmm.
He does other things.
It's like very, very prototypical, like 80s hacker.
Yeah, like cyberpunk 80s, stuff.
80s cyberpunk retrofuturism. It's so fun.
I had like started to read a book of his when I was like younger, and I found it very dense and hard.
Yeah.
And gave up.
He throws a lot of slang at you and doesn't explain it. You're like, you're just meant to pick it up. Like original slang, like you're meant to pick it up. Just like through context clues.
Context clues, so, yeah.
I've been enjoying it so far. I'm glad that I am reading more. I do want to keep accelerating, though. Like, I don't want to plateau at this rate. I want to try to push that more.
Yeah.
So the next one after this is going to be, I have a book that someone gave me forever ago, probably, but it's called Electra, and it's kind of retelling the story of the mythological Electra, the daughter of...
The Fury, right? King. She's a Fury, I think.
She becomes a Fury eventually, right. Actually, or you might be thinking of Electo.
Oh, I think you're right. I think I'm thinking of Electo. Boy, those Greeks should have gotten shit together.
Electra is where we get the Electra complex from.
Right, right, right.
She was King Agamemnon's daughter, and she, like, kills her mom because she's not faithful to the dad that she loves more.
Okay.
So it's sort of like an exploration of, like...
What made this lady so crazy?
Yeah. Female Oedipus. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, I think doing well, if not, you know, exactly what I said I would set out to do.
Yeah. Meanwhile, and this is not a brag, this is the opposite, I'm ashamed of this behavior, but I have more than once read 100K word fanfics in one day.
You disgust me, Delahanty.
Like, I've just, like, of a weekend, of a Saturday, just, like, consumed 100,000 words.
Shame.
And now that you have confessed this, you will now be shunned.
Yes.
Yeah. And the only way I can say that, the only reason I can say that is because they tell you the word count on fanfics. Like, I have no idea how fast I read actual books, but I don't read, like, I have a book on asexuality that is still, like, I don't know, one third of the way done on my bed. And meanwhile, I'm reading, like, what I would call affectionately trash fantasy. I power through, like, a book. I'll power through, like, a book in a couple days. Like, but it's easy. It's easy to read.
Trash is easy. It is.
It is.
It's easy reading. I'm saying these books, some books are easy to read, and some books take time.
This is interesting.
Take emotional and mental time that you don't
want
to.
Some things are easy, but other things...
are hard.
Yes. Interesting. Let's meditate on that for a bit.
And yeah. You know what? I'm going to also think about how we live in a society.
Do that. Get back to me.
Maybe you do.
I'm glad to hear, though, that all three of us are chugging right along with our goals. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
It does feel good. Oh, my God. On that note.
On that note.
I think we should all keep up. Note. We're all doing good. Everyone's doing good. We're all enriching ourselves.
We're all good boys.
We're all good boys.
All great boys.
Everyone's all the best boys.
Yes.
We deserve fudge.
We all do.
Well, because
every good boy deserves fudge.
Yeah,
I was going to say, democratize fudge.
Democratize fudge for good boys.
Right after you democratize wishes.
Yes. All right, guys, come back at us in 2 weeks. We'll be discussing Lost in Space.
Yes.
And
we're gonna get lost.
It's going to be a great time. I'm definitely going to drink sangria, and I'm not going to hate the movie.
We're gonna hate the movie, but yeah. Don't worry about that.
We have to say we still have to find one good thing to say about it, and I will do that.
We will. I think I have a few good things to say about it, but we'll get. Yeah.
I think Brendan's favorite is going to be whatever the name of that space monkey.
Blarp. My beloved Blarp. Yes.
All right, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Bye.